This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Well, good afternoon, Melbourne, and welcome to Cravings. It's Boxing Day. I can't believe how exciting it is. It's Christmas and we're here and it's very, very Christmassy inside the studio today. My name's Russ Masterton and I'm filling in with Pete Dillon, for Pete Dillon today, yes. I should say, with my cohort, co-host and crazy man in general, Mr. Mark Adams. How are you, Mark?
I'm well, thank you. Although anybody contemplating coming into the city today, you have to really think about your priorities in life. It is a mess out there. I had to drive in from the airport just now. The roads are a mess. Everything's a mess. People have got their "I no longer walk in a straight line" vibe going on. People veer off suddenly, unexpectedly.
It's their Boxing Day
throwing
madness.
Children before you. Yeah, it's Boxing Day sale madness. And if you really need to save that $23 that much, really look at your priorities. Because coming into the city, you're going to lose a relative if you bring them in with you.
You've just flown in from exciting Adelaide.
Wow. The city of churches, Radelaide. The home of Christopher Payne.
What else goes on in Adelaide? How was your Christmas in Adelaide?
Murders. It was great. I'm very lucky that I've got a very close family and we all get along and, you know, we're all in a very supportive family. So, I couldn't ask for more. So Christmas is always good, but, you know, family stresses are those regular things that happen.
Yeah.
And I'm quite glad that I've got the kind of family that I have because we have people coming and going
all day,
having drinks with us from – and we know that other parts of people's families just can't be in the same room or barely in the same state as each other. And Christmas brings it all out. And just so lucky to have the immediate family that I've got, whereas everything else is like a freaking circus.
A time bomb that's about to explode or something like that.
Oh, but people just bring out the worst behaviour for this time of the year. It's supposed to be the funnest time of the year. And, you know, everyone's favourite time is Christmas. And a lot of people seem to go out of their way to be absolute mongrels to each other, which I don't get.
Oh, no, well, we kind of sit around a table, and when people start to get stressed and start to get a bit shitty with each other, that's when we all sit there and look at each other and start singing. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Yeah, because the things that people are harping on about, and these aren't my immediate family, they're sort of friends, and some of the dramas that people go through in life and the challenges. But, you know, I really am so grateful because I know a lot of people who can't go and spend time with their family. It's less and less than it used to be, but there are some people I know who whose families don't accept them anymore and they can't sit around the Christmas dinner table.
And we hope they had a lovely day with family.
Waifs and strays.
With our GBLQIT community.
Correct. And today on Cravings, that's what we're going to be talking about a lot of is breaking bread. This time of year, it's probably breaking pudding or breaking mince pies, what you've done yesterday and how that works with your family and how that works in the sort of queer framework. And that's our Cravings show with Pete Dillon, not here. So first thing is, Russ, you said your mum was the food.
Yeah, she was the foodie. She was the foodie for this year. Now, we had a very small family gathering this year because my brother...
Is that normal? Or?
Oh, look, there's usually about 10 of us, and it was halved this year, so there was only five, but it was a very pleasant five. And so we had my 91-year-old gran, and we had my lovely mum, and we had my partner, Gashermo, myself, and we had a Christmas stray come in for the day, my friend Mark.
I love a Waits and Strays.
I do,
Waits and Strays at Christmas. It's one of my favourite parts.
We arrived and...
Because they don't have any of the family trauma to bring with them. They're just sitting there happy to drink the Baileys.
Well, I think they do that, and I think they also look at everybody else in the room and think, God, thank God this isn't my family.
Or this is why I'm not with my family.
That's right.
Watch a bunch of other people make fools of themselves.
So, look, we had a lovely day. We had the traditional, you know, prawn cocktail to start the afternoon off with, and then we...
That's really traditional seafood.
It is very traditional.
What other traditional dishes did your mum pull out of
there? We had pork. We had ham.
Hot.
Yes, hot pork and ham. And mum went a little bit off tradition this year, and we had some lovely salads with tabbouleh and
I like
bean salad. So there was a bit of a healthy side to the meal before we scoffed down lots of Christmas pudding and of course the Aussie style pavlova.
Yeah, we don't do that, but I'm really glad that you're another family who you're there with your partner and you're all integrated as the family Christmas, which is
which is
great, which a lot of people don't have. If you want to tell us your story, let us know. You can SMS us 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. We'd love to hear whether you're with your family, whether you're not, or whether you've created a new family to celebrate Christmas mealtimes like Christmas lunch. But it starts before that, doesn't it, Russ? It starts with the morning champagne.
It certainly does. I mean, you wake up, you've looked under the tree. There's a great big bottle of Moët or Chandon sitting there for you, ready to start the day, and you get into that ripping open of those Christmas presents, and it all happens, you know. We like to do a bit of Christmas caroling too, just to annoy the pants off each other.
What, in the house or in the neighbourhood?
No, just in the house, you know. As everyone arrives, we sing another carol. You should see the look on Mark's face in the studio here.
Well, it's called recoiling in horror.
Tradition. You know, we've all got these weird traditions, haven't we?
Yeah, but Christmas is very big around food. And whether you're a practicing Christian or not, which is apparently it's got something to do with that. Someone being born.
Okay, yes. Our lovely friend JC.
Yep. Joan Crawford. What it also has to do is a lot to do with Western modern traditions, because it used to be Saturnalia, Christmas, pagan festival. Christmas became... Saturnalia became Christmas.
Right.
When the Romans invented Catholicism and decided to take it from a Jewish offshoot, blah, blah, blah. So that's where we get the Easter eggs, and sometimes we follow the Jewish calendar, sometimes we don't. It just all works out what was an existing holiday that they could incorporate in. So... food has always been the common thing in this, no matter how Christmas and the message has changed. And now it's just this commercial thing, public holidays, blah, blah, blah. But it's for a lot of people who are observant Christians, good on them. You know, this is a very important time of the year. It's a very solemn, it's a very joyous time, and that's great, and we doff our caps to you. But for most people, food is the dominant thing, whether you're going out to celebrate, especially booze, or you're going out to break bread with people.
Yes.
It's the traditional food. So let's get back to that. You were talking about some of the really traditional Australian things that you were doing with your family this year. Prawn cocktails?
Yeah, prawn cocktails, which I absolutely adored. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. For many, many moons now, we've been doing the, oh, look, we've only got a small family, let's chuff off to the hotel and get someone else to cook for us. Well, this year...
outsource the anguish.
Absolutely. And this year we decided not to do that. And so there was a bit of intrepidation on Mum's part. She, you know, she had to do a lot of shopping and running around and got a bit stressed about it. But I tell you what, she did a fabulous job, an absolutely fabulous job. You know, we sat there with our little Christmas cookies and we had the...
she did the whole shebang.
Yeah, the whole shebang. So we had Christmas cookies happening. We had the prawn cocktail. We got some lovely cheeses and dips to start the afternoon off with. And I must say that by the time we'd finished the first course, I was feeling quite full and could have gone and had my 1:15 nana nap early, but then out came the second course with all that pork and ham, and it was just go, and I love Christmas Day food. It really, you know, gets my goat.
But it's the only time of the year we eat these kind of particular things. It's very Christmas Day dishes.
What did your family serve?
We're half German, half English.
Yes.
And we do the Christmas pudding. Strangely enough, it's an English thing, but we use Mrs. Henschke, who was from German heritage. We use her recipe for an English pudding from a German. So, you know, Barossa Valley crap like that.
Hand off.
No. Anyway, so we do a very traditional thing, but we have different people coming at different times of the day. So we start off with a really nice breakfast.
Yep.
And then we have a really late lunch, which is about 4 o'clock, and then pudding is sort of 7 o'clock, and we do different things during the day because there's so much food and it's dense, heavy food and it's quite hot.
Do you still put the sixpence in the puddings?
No, we do.
We do.
No heavy metal poisoning for our family.
You know, we
throw in some mercury to just
we've still
knock
got
one
little,
off.
A little bag of sixpences and then they go
do
into
really?
The pudding. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that's one tradition we haven't been able to let go of, you know.
No, we don't do that.
No, but
we do make it all from scratch. We do the...
Yeah, we didn't do that this year. We did manage to bring out the bag of sixpence and put them into the pudding with a bit of custard and
custard ice cream.
Oh, it was heaven, absolute heaven. I'm paying for it today though. I feel very heavy around the
All of these foods are even for breakfast. We tend to do prawns and sort of scrambled eggs with smoked salmon and melon and cherries and light.
Yep.
To go down with some champagne with the first shift of family coming and going. And by the time it's 11:30, you're pretty much done for the day.
That's right.
And then you look at this huge amount of food you've got to cook.
I seem to have a revolving door. My partner and I seem to have a revolving door in our bedroom yesterday. So anyone who needed...
Hello.
That's right. Anyone who needed a nana nap...
Oh, is that why?
It was sort of, go and have a sleep. Yeah, we'll all still be here yakking away. I loved it,
Oh, yeah. Everyone has to have a turkey nap.
Yeah, they did. And you know, my old gran did. She got stuck into the red wine at about...
Oh, good on her.
At midday. And then by about 2:30, we put her to bed after she'd have three solid glasses of red, and she was, I just need to go and close my eyes for a minute. And she sat down and went to sleep for 3 hours and then came back and she was ready for pudding by then. So
good on her. Yeah. We want to talk to the rest of Melbourne's LGBTIQ community who are currently either just struggling out of a food coma or going for second helpings of puddings. Let us know what you did for food this Christmas. It's traditions and it's not traditions. And we have a multicultural environment. So people have got traditions from all over the world. We want to hear about Italian, Greek, Lebanese, Vietnamese, families. What did you do this year for Christmas? Chinese, we've got people from Africa, all over the world who celebrate Christmas in really interesting ways. So let us know what you did with your family or what you did with the family you created this year for Christmas. You can SMS us 0427-JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Now, after this break, Mark, we'll be able to introduce our special guest who is an absolute foodie and who helped all of our Joyster listeners get their meals ready on Christmas Day.
And we're going to talk more about traditional foods and how that's evolving over the years. So stick with us all afternoon on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
Well, there you go. You're listening to Cravings. Pete Dillon is away at the moment. I believe he just recently got married. Mark will be able to fill you in more on that. My name's Russ Masterton. We're filling in for Pete today, Russ and Mark, and then we're following on to Escape Pod, so make sure you stay tuned. What is it with Pete and getting married? Is that right, Mark?
Yes, he got married. There's a lot going on, Russ.
There's the announcement. There's the announcement.
It's been
for Pete's
trumpeted
wedding
from on high that Pete got married. Thank you to Pete's Court for producing the trumpeters.
I like that.
To herald the news.
There's always, you never know what's going to come out of this panel and DPA, Mark.
No, you do not. But congratulations to Pete and Nathan, and they're off having a honeymoon and doing a bit of globetrotting on their own, and we should have him into Escape Pod.
Yep.
And we'll talk about that. But right now we're talking about what do you do with Christmas and food, and we have a special guest who is really dialed in to Christmas fooding.
He orders in the Christmas food.
Who do we have, Russ?
We have Mr. David Gale here with
Hello,
us today.
Hello, David Gale.
David is a presenter on Joy FM and he is also...
Joy 94.9.
Yes, Joy 94.9 FM. And he is also a bit of a fabulous deli manager at the Paran Market. How are you, David?
Look, I'm good. I'm a little bit tired. We've just got over the Christmas hump, as we call it over there. And in fact, we train all year just to get ready for Christmas. And it's been a busy one this year. Everybody's been out there buying. But, I mean, it is an important table and it's one that everybody wants to get right. I try to tell people that it's quite a simple table. In the end, it's an entree, a roast and a pudding. And a lot of people stress out about Christmas and I'm there to put them at ease.
But it really is the easiest cooking.
It is. A lot of our dinner parties are much more complex.
Kill it, add heat, eat it.
Yep. Exactly. And it's a good fun meal to do if you relax. A lot of people say, oh, I've got 17 people.
So
the same as four people times four plus one.
I'm loving your attitude with that. I mean, I love Mum dearly, but there was a bit of stress happening there yesterday. And really, it was just about the fact that she just wasn't used to cooking for the whole family. And it was bizarre. It was bizarre, but I was glad we all just threw in. We were cutting pork and we were doing all of this other stuff. But I like your...
But there's a lot of self-pressure, I think, that comes with cooking for a large bunch of people. The same meal you'd cook for... a handful of people, no stress, because they can wait. When it's Christmas, all of a sudden there's added people and then people feel like they're the nexus of everything that either goes well or wrong. And that stress doesn't worry me as a cook. I cook very happy. I'll do it for a dozen people
and that's,
in a heartbeat.
That's sort of what I try to convey to people. You know, I'm down at the Paran Market. I operate a delicatessen there. It's quite large. But you actually go to people and you get things and you make sure that it's just right. So all you have to do is put it together and there's no worry about anything else. You know, the place that I bought my turkey this year, they'd already rolled this ginormous turkey breast. And, of course, a couple of weeks ago there would have been turkey Armageddon. But nevertheless, I got this beautiful turkey breast that was already rolled. It's already stuffed. So half the work was already done. And also, you know, their cooking instructions, I've used it before, works to a T every year. And I end up with this beautiful crispy skin on the outside,
perfect.
Still moist and beautiful on the inside. So you get other people to take care of those things that you're not sure about. And then that way it's a stress-free day. You can virtually wing a Christmas lunch.
See what you did there.
Yeah. Well, turkey wing, turkey breast. But nevertheless, you know, I had a really stress-free one, probably because I've done it many times before, but it's, once again, a little bit of planning beforehand and just sort of enjoy it and also delegate. Delegation is also a good thing too.
Okay, so walk us through what you would do on a Christmas day. Someone who works in food.
All right, well, I decided I wanted to do a warm prawn salad and I was going to barbecue the prawns because my sister said something about, no, you can't barbecue on Christmas day. Well, of course we can barbecue on Christmas day. There aren't any rules. There's no rules in food.
Even.
Well, it was a little bit warm here, a bit windy. Yeah, you can poach. You can even just warm them underneath your arms if you need to. But nevertheless, and they will cook that way. But I just thought...
drive through.
I definitely want to do a warm prawn salad. And as it was a bit too warm to barbecue...
Where did you get that barbecue from, David?
I got a wonderful hot box from...
Yes, I think that's
an unnamed
story,
source. Yeah, exactly. But nevertheless...
You want a barbecue on Joy 94.9.
You know why? Because of the 94 days of summer. But that's another story. Anyway, so I decided to pan fry them with some garlic. No stress, really easy to do over a beautiful warm salad. I'd prepared the salad earlier that morning, so that was all ready to go as well.
Throw in some butter, a bit of garlic.
Yeah, exactly.
Flip.
That's
heat.
It. Done.
And no stress.
Exactly.
In fact, I might have been more stressed on the barbie because you know what happens to prawns on the barbie.
If you're not careful, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Paul Hogan comes out.
Yeah, exactly. Of the other end. Anyway, so I did a beautiful turkey breast as well. I think it's important that you also time your meal so you figure out how long everything's going to take so that way your potatoes aren't ready 3 hours before your turkey is and all that sort of stuff. So if you write up a little schedule for yourself, that also takes away a lot of stress. And as long as you're not getting too sozzled not to be able to follow that, you're going to be fine. Beautiful salad as well to go with that. I did a little quinoa sweet potato salad, which was, you know, really easy. And good fun to do. Some asparagus and beans. That's a little bit of traditional stuff, but beautiful green vegetables are great. Tossed in a bit of butter and pepper. Too easy. And as I say, entree, roast, and then a pudding. Christmas pudding with cream this year and also strawberries. Strawberries actually cut back the richness of a pudding and just give you that little bit of freshness.
Correct. So from your experience in working at the Pran Market for a number of years, how has Christmas lunch changed?
How does it change? Look, I think it's there's always been a big emphasis on seafood. Now, I wouldn't say seafood is really a European Christmas thing. It's really an Australian thing. So there's always a huge emphasis on that. I'd say definitely people have started to realise, and, you know, whether it's the MasterChef effect or other, you know, ways of becoming more aware of modern food, is there are no rules. And people tend to bring in other things. They might do pavlovas, for instance, as Russ's mum did, for a dessert instead of a Christmas pudding. Or you can interchange all sorts of things. A lot of people, they don't like turkey. They think it's dry. They think it's awful. So they'll do a roast pork or they'll do lamb. A lot of people do duck, of course, and other big game birds are very popular as well. I think people have moved away from the little, you know, quaily type things. There's also a reflection with how the times are with general economy and what people will serve. There's years when times are really tough, so people will serve more modest meals, not only because people are doing it tough. They may not be doing it tough themselves, but they don't want to be too showy. There's also ostentatious times, like the 80s were very ostentatious, because I've been at the market for a couple of decades now, and people were sort of, they were just going, what's the most expensive, whatever it is.
I want the best.
Yeah, exactly. And it was all to do with impression and being showy. Now I've found this year, as opposed to the last few years, people are confident about what they want to serve. They're not concerned about prices and things because they want to put on a great spread, but they're just confident. It's not showy. It's not mingy. It's not sort of we don't want people to feel embarrassed by our richness or whatever. It's to do with this is what I want and I'm going to go out and get it.
So do you think the big change over the last couple of decades is people's ability to prepare food and understand food themselves and to deliver something at home at the right kind of level? Do you think that's what it is? How would you...
Look, you know,
take it a different way.
The people that I see at Paran are definite foodies as well. So maybe I've got a slight skew towards that. Now, if many people are shopping in the large chains and the supermarkets, they're going to be looking, perhaps, especially with big families, they're looking at stretching their dollar as far as they can because they might be feeding a lot of people. At Paran, we do find the people that come to us, they're coming to the source because they just want to be able to buy really good, fine food. And Paran is not a cheap market by any means. In fact, I don't use the C word at Paran. I never use the word cheap there because it's more about discerning. Quality and, yeah, discerning for that quality and getting that level of food.
Okay, so people's skills have improved, people's palates have changed. Also, there's different...
also, even their confidence.
Confidence, so that's the other big word. How do you see Australia's multiculturalism playing itself out? Because Paran's quite a multicultural area.
Well, you know, I think Pete, sorry, Mark. You know, it's just like being here with Pete.
But, correct.
What happens is, you know, we live in one of the greatest multicultural cities of Australia. Along with Sydney and Melbourne, we are truly integrated and there are so many cultures. So everybody brings something different to the table. So if you've got a multicultural family, which we all do, somebody will bring something from their own tradition or something from their own culture to the table. Now, I don't find that in my house because, you know, I'm putting the meal together. But if you had somebody that was, you know, Sri Lankan or somebody from China or somebody from America or whatever, they'd each bring something with them.
Interesting stuff. We're going to talk more about that, but we'd love to get listener feedback or input and comments. So please let us know. We'd love to hear how you went through Christmas and what you got on your table. SMS is 0427 joy949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thank you, Gabriel. That was a great track. David, why was that a track? And do the back announcing for it.
That would be like Yazoo with, Don't Go.
From 1982.
Like I remember it well.
So that was Russ. It was your choice.
Russ, you would have been 4 years old at that time.
I was a baby in 1982. But I tell you what, the 80s to me are just the ultimate decade. I loved it. Absolutely.
Why? Is it the shoulder pads?
Shoulder pads.
Pastels, big hair.
You know, Joan Collins, you know, all of that. You know, Dynasty. You know, you could bring it back. And, you know, I just love the fact that...
People calling BMWs Beamers.
Well, and you couldn't get enough mousse and hairspray in your hair. It was fabulous. Mm. And a little bit
the
of flammability, a little bit of eyeliner. Yeah. Oh, well, can I tell you about a night that I was at Pokey's nightclub? I was at Pokey's nightclub and someone had accidentally put the flame up on my lighter. And I went to light my Park Drive cigarette and I had it in my mouth. And all of a sudden I'd taken off half of my hairdo, my 1980s Flock of Seagull hairstyle.
I was more worried that you'd settle out poor Doug Lucas.
No, I was biffed by that. Crimpoline and they were fabulous, the girls, though.
Crimpoline and wigs.
Yep.
So I've been told.
Who's that?
Do you remember Pokies from the 70s?
No.
Oh, you should have been here, Mark.
I was gestating.
Mm. Were you?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I was born in the 70s.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, you're a baby. You're an absolute baby. Anyway, we're here with...
Not really. I'm middle-aged.
We're here with cravings today.
It's the grim reality.
Now, I'd like to
we
talk
are with
cheese.
Cravings.
Cheese is a big topic.
Russ, I heard you cut the cheese earlier. Tell us all about it.
Well, I'm not the cheese expert. Our good friend David Gale is. But we love cheese at the end of our meal on Christmas Day. And I normally would shop at Pete and Rosie's Deli at the Paran Market where David works, but I didn't get a chance to on...
Are they now a Joy sponsor?
Yes, exactly.
Well, the Paran Market is a
is
Joy
it?
Sponsor.
They are.
It is.
Yeah.
We love the Paran Market.
We do love the Paran Market, but what sort
commercial
of cheese?
Road Paran.
That's right. Gorgeous part of town. What sort of cheese do people like for Christmas, well, David?
Look, I've got to tell you, Christmas Day comes at the end of a meal of Christmas Day. I serve no cheese whatsoever, probably because I've been selling a lot of cheese for the previous weeks beforehand and months. So, look, this year I will tell you that specialty cheese is still alive and well, and I don't like calling it specialty cheese because it sort of indicates that you're only going to eat good cheese on a special occasion. I must admit, there's nothing better than taking home a nice small piece of cheese and sharing it with somebody else, with a glass of wine or whatever else you decide to have with it, and enjoying it for what it is. But this year, as in previous years, triple cream cheese is always a big one. Cheeses like Dauphinois are always huge as well.
Because they feel festive?
Because they're creamy, they're rich. One of the great things about those...
is the decadence.
Well, it's decadent, but also they go with any white wine, red wine or champagne. So it doesn't matter where you're up to in a meal, even if it's beer or, in my case, Canotto. I just drink Canotto all the time. They all seem to go quite well with a triple cream or something like a Dauphinois as well. Mm. And also, once again, it's to do with opulence and a great table. A lot of people were buying cheeses that were either infused with truffle or with truffle pieces through them. Also, cheddars are very traditional, and also Stilton, but... this year I sold quite a lot of a cheese called Bella Vitana Espresso, which is a coffee-flavoured cheese. Oh. And there's another sister cheese called Bella
Dial
Vitana Christmas. Now, these two cheeses are amazing. Dial it back
coffee
wine.
Coffee-flavoured
yes.
cheese.
Unbelievable cheese. And I know you're looking
describe
at me with... well, you're looking at me with an unusual... yes, exactly. But this
describe
cheese...
describe this coffee-flavoured cheese that you've spoken about.
It's a six-month-old cow's milk cheese, and it's made by this little Italian family. They've only been making cheese for a short period, about 90 years, and it actually has a slight crust of coffee on the outside.
Right.
Once you have a rich mouth of whatever cheese in your mouth first up, you have a bite of this afterwards, and it sort of brings your palate back. So it's a bit tangy because it's only a six-month-old cow's milk cheese, and then you get that flavour infusement. So if you're having it with a rich white cheese, and then you have that afterwards with the coffee or the Christmas version with cinnamon, which is just to die for.
Okay, so this is like a coating on the outside
exactly.
of the cheese. It's not
yeah.
It's not like a Big M in solid form.
No, it isn't. And the big surprise, however, though, is that this little Italian family that's only been making cheese shy of 100 years is in Wisconsin in the United States.
Right. So they use ground coffee beans to...
yes, there's little bits of grind of coffee and whatever else goes into their secret recipe on the coating. I don't know, otherwise I'd be making
now.
It myself.
Mm.
But it's an amazing cheese. That's been very big. The Christmas one was definitely a hit as well because with the cinnamon flavours, it ties back into the mince tarts that I had at the start of the meal or the Christmas pudding at the end, and it sort of has got those flavours. So that was a really big hit. But as I say, you know, Stilton's always very popular. I always say that.
Is that a traditional Christmas
cheese? Well, yes, it is. An English traditional one.
Right, and Do people buy it in the jar that they do the whole thing?
Sometimes, and also the big flavoured cheddars. But I always mention that, you know, those big flavours are for old men that don't have any taste buds anymore. They've been drinking port all their lives, they've been smoking cigars and cigarettes, and they can't taste anything. So those big flavours are a winter flavour, and it's something that they will taste. You know, traditionally you'd put your port either into a pot or buy it in a pot, put holes in it, throw some port over the top of it, and then that drips through the Stilton, and then you've got the sweet and the salt. So it's a classic flavour match of salt and sweet. Huh. So just as you might have a blue cheese with some quince paste or with some beautiful fresh cherries or something else like that. Yeah, exactly. Mm. So it's to do with that flavour profile. But, you know, we sell about 140 cheeses down there just in our place at the market. I'm lucky to be able to source cheeses through a number of different suppliers, including a small one in Adelaide called Cheese Culture. I'm not sure whether you're aware of them because they are a wholesaler, but they bring in some very unusual cheeses. One of the cheeses that we did sell was a little Italian number called La Tour. And it was a soft cheese with a wrinkle wash, with a wrinkle rind, and you would pick it as a French cheese, as a soft French cheese.
Okay. What's a wrinkle rind?
Rather than having a white mould grow on it,
like
it's actually... Yeah, exactly. It sort of just has a slight bacteria added just to give it this, like, wrinkle surface rind. And this cheese in particular was made out of a one-third... cows, sheep's and goat's milk. So rich again, but once again with more interesting, delicate flavours. And we sold a lot of those. We ran out, unfortunately, before Christmas. We may have spoilt some Christmas meals. I'm sorry to anybody that's listening out there that may have thought, oh, my Christmas is ruined. But sometimes you just have to get in there with a little bit of pre-planning. But we sold a lot of those because they just taste like heaven. I think, you know, one of the key things is also to go somewhere where you can actually taste cheese. So I was talking to people about cherries the other day, and I know I don't sell them, but always taste your cherries because they vary from different places. And, you know, I like a bit of crunch. I like a long flavour of sugar. Mm. But then you go and pick some, and they might cost a little bit less, but they're soft and there's no flavour. You know, the ones that have split because they've sucked up too much water in the trees and all those sorts of things. You want to try and... I encourage people to try things before they buy them. And I know you can't do that in the supermarket, but...
I think people do.
Yeah, well, exactly. But certainly... And you're not going to be able to taste the crayfish that are at $195 a kilo before you buy them. But if you're going to people that you trust and, you know, you have a relationship that's ongoing with them, they're going to be looking after you and making sure that you get the best advice possible.
Okay, so what were the really big sellers this year for Christmas?
What, other than cheese?
Yeah.
And more cheese?
Yeah.
definitely hams, definitely turkeys. I mean, in a deli, we range probably with about 2,000 different lines. Mince tarts are always big, of course. We were selling a particular bakery's mince tarts that were divine, and in fact, I got some of their exclusive ones for Christmas morning with cardamom in them, which was a nice little twist. Look, I think it was a pretty traditional... Kind of. There was nothing really over the top and new this year. Definitely...
Because it's a traditional time of year, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, people want to impress and they're looking for those flavours. But at the same time, as we said before, you know, people bring their own cultures to the table and things do change and evolve.
Well, one that I dearly love is panettone. I cannot get enough panettone at Christmas. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Well, you usually get it on Christmas morning. And I'm not talking about your boyfriend, Gashumo, but I'm talking about panettone because that is our tradition, isn't it?
It is. Every Boxing Day, David and I catch up for a panettone breakfast and usually to book a holiday for 2016, which we did today, which was fantastic.
So, well and truly done.
Absolutely all done. But what dessert did your family... put on the table yesterday, Mark, aside from the pudding?
Traditional stuff. So roast beef, cold ham, roast turkey, vegetables, blah, blah, blah. It's quite traditional. Prawns before that.
Did you finish off with any cheeses at all?
No, we didn't, because that's enough. And then we have pudding.
Yeah.
You know, there are older members of my family who just don't eat that much anymore. So we tend to spread it out all day and just have quite traditional kinds of foods.
Because there are some amazing cheesemakers in the Adelaide Hills all around that area. So
Adelaide's very lush with opportunities for wine and food, and especially the Adelaide Hills, Barossa Valley and so forth. So they do throw a lot of money at Maggie Beer every year.
Yes, a lot of people do. And, of course, there's Woodside cheeses over there, which I'm a great fan of. And actually, I've been using a lot of their Woodside goat's curd as well, which is just so versatile.
Mm. You're on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Hi, I'm Manny Feldel, and you are with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Well, not Pete Dillon, but with Russ Masterson and Mark Adams from Escape Pod and David Gale from other shows on Joy 94.9. We're going to touch on that in a moment. That was Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong, two of probably most impressive and impactful cultural icons.
They're just beautiful, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah. Potato, potato. That was the theme, wasn't it, Russ?
And you say potato, I say potato. Anyway, that's enough of me.
Just a beautiful duet, though. The two of them together was just fantastic. It's a surprise today.
Happy Boxing Day, Joysters. You've got us today.
So Russ Gale is our guest today on Cravings.
Well, I'm going to be David Gale for the purposes of
this
exercise,
but
that's okay. I've called you Pete. I have called you Pete once today. So
serendipitous.
That's okay.
So, David, you have another show on Joy.
Yes. Look, I'm on one of the team of Right Here, Right Now on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m.
Yep.
Which is a great show. It's about it sort of follows the mission statement of the show, which is about breaking down isolation and making people feel good about themselves and proud of who they are. Certainly, as part of the LGBTI community. I call it the community, but anyway.
That's
and
cute.
Also, you'll catch me on Wednesday mornings for the news in the morning at 7, 8,
right.
and 9 with half-hourly bulletins at headlines. So that's always a great privilege to do as well.
Oh,
so
yeah, absolutely.
Really, you know, coming into this station is always a privilege. We're all volunteers, mm-hmm. and it's what we can offer to the station, which is the most important thing, and it's an amazing thing to do.
And I'll tell you what, if you want to meet some fabulous people.
Mm. Taste of Radio.
Taste of Radio course, come in here, you'll make some great new friends and you'll be on air. If you don't like on air, you can certainly do some
off-air stuff.
Podcasting, yes.
Be a receptionist.
Yep.
But I tell you what, the Joy crew are the nicest bunch of people I've ever come across in my life. I've never felt so welcome or part of a community.
Oh, beautiful, yeah, Joy's a beautiful. Fantastic organisation. We all spend a lot of time and it's a big part of building our community. And
it's
I think
a
that's,
great
Yeah, because it's rare to find an organisation like this in any city, let alone a big city to find a station like Joy that's been around for over 20 years, it's pushing 25.
We can also give back to our community, which I think we owe a lot to as well.
Correct. So if you want to get some more information, go to joy.org.au. Check out Taste of Radio. It might be a good thing for you to do in the new year, or at least think about giving someone else a gift of going to Taste of Radio course. But we're not here to talk about that.
Thinking about gifts, actually, you can also give a membership as well.
You can. You can.
You know what, boys? It's summertime and the feeling is easy. Now, what are we going to cook this summer?
Ella, you're really mining lyrics there, aren't you?
You know, what's good for this summer, 2015-16? What are we going to eat this year, guys?
Summer foods.
Yeah. Well, summer foods are entertaining foods as well as, you know, picnics. What about picnics? I see a lot of people that come down to the market,
you mean
just
like
couples.
Cinema?
Couples coming down to buy goodies to put into their picnic basket. Now, I don't think a picnic basket should be competitive, but I know at some of the big events, you know, you go to the midnight cinema or a jazz festival in a park or whatever. Don't be too competitive, but do get some good stuff. Cheeses are great.
How can people be competitive?
Well, you know, you're sitting there in the park in Malvern or in Paran or something or other, and there's some jazz festival on, and you start pulling your spread out, and you've got to make sure you've got really good stuff. Exactly. You've got to make sure that it matches to your picnic as well. But people do get that. Certainly at school events as well. Some of the parents, you know.
So the
and you can imagine it just in the wines.
Lawn.
Exactly. The wines and all of those things. You know, you're going to have to pull out a better bottle of champagne than the people next to you. And also the same happens with food. But in summer, when you're entertaining or if you're going on a little picnic, definitely take small little things because you want to nibble on little bits of everything. Don't take kilos and kilos of stuff because if there's two of you, you're not going to eat them all and they're just going to spoil. Yeah, exactly. They're going to be wasted. But lots of little treats as well. Christmas isn't the only time to treat ourselves. And in fact, a lot of foods that we do eat at Christmas time are becoming everyday foods, except for maybe the craze. But otherwise, most of the foods, turkey. Is pretty well an everyday food. Prawns are an everyday food.
Yep.
Smoked salmon is.
Yep.
But, yeah, just little treats to be able to put out there on your blanket before you stretch out and have your little snooze, your food coma snooze. And if you're visiting...
I think you snooze through your child's performance.
Well, yeah, that as well. If you are visiting people and you want to take a gift, and I always feel that it's great to take a little food gift, obviously because I work in food, but it's always good to take a little food gift to people if they're asking you over. But make it something self-sufficient. Not, you know, don't take a wad of brie that's overripe and whatever. Take something that's in a small container, a pack, whether it be a camembert or something else that's that they can put away in the fridge and maybe have at their own leisure rather than be obliged to have it right now with you. It's like taking a bottle of open wine if you're taking a ready-cut piece of cheese or something like that. Often I take, because I don't drink at all, I'll take a bottle of balsamic or a bottle of oil. There's some great ones out there. You don't have to spend a fortune.
What kind of oil?
Look, I love Mount Zero oil from Western Victoria. I'm a big fan of theirs, and I do love the flavours because they're grassy, peppery oils.
So this is an olive oil?
Being an Australian olive oil, yes, it is. Mount Zero also does vinegars and other things. Right. They do salts as well that are collected off indigenous lands in their area, which they pay a royalty to. But taking those sorts of little things as hostess gifts are great because they're something that we'll keep on giving as well. You know, there's a particular balsamic vinegar that I love that's around about 4 years old, and it has a certain sweetness to it, and I've taken that to Russ's place before, and he's continued using it over his salads for weeks and months. And you know, it's a thought where at least they're getting to use something a little bit better than maybe what you'd normally use, and also it's a gift that keeps on giving. Isn't that right, Russ?
Absolutely. And you know what I like about this time of the year as well is the it's just the fact that you can prepare a nice green salad very quickly and very easily. And yeah. You know, I feel as though that, you know, it's this stage in our life, we're all rushing around, we're all going completely mad, and I can think of nothing better than to get home and, you know, cut up some avocado, put some green leaves and tomato and onion into a salad and have a healthy meal rather than, you know, going through a, dare I say it, drive through.
No.
What about you, Mark? Are salads easy for you to prepare at home?
Yeah, yep. I'm a amateur kitchen person. I would hesitate not to say cook or chef, but throwing together a salad is the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And there are so many things you can do to make a salad quite creative. You go to somewhere like Prayer Market or one of the other markets in town, and you can get some great additional leaves or flower petals and other things, or pomegranate and some nice firm feta to go with things, or quickly toast some halloumi.
And then maybe just crack a burrata over your salad as well. There's nothing quite like it. And they've been very, very on trend lately.
I don't know what
burrata
that is.
It's a handgun, isn't it?
It's, yes, it is. It's a 40-foot... No. It's sort of like a big ball of bocconcina or a big ball of fior de lage. But inside, it's virtually just curd on the inside. So when you crack it, the skin, you can cut into little pieces, but you end up with this whole lot of creamy mess over your salad.
So it's like a Kinder surprise for adults.
It is a little bit. Yeah.
A Vuxina surprise.
Yeah, I don't know what a Vuxina surprise is, but I'm surprised.
You're on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And you're back on Joy 94.9, and this is Cravings with Russ Masterton and Mark Adams, and we're filling in for Pete Dillon today, who is away.
Congratulations, Pete and Nate.
Yeah, we hope they had a, you know, here comes the bride moment, and it was all gorgeous, and I'm sure it was.
It was all over Facebook.
Was
it? Looked like they had a beautiful time.
Oh, lucky boys. That's wonderful.
Yep.
To hear that a member of our community has got married.
Yep, and they were in Bali, and I think they're going to the United States next. They've got a huge amount of travel planned, and we'll look forward to having Pete on Escapod.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Future. Stick with us all afternoon. Escapod starts soon, and we've got a very exciting guest who's coming in to talk about travelling in Iran. So brace yourself for that. We'll also be talking to Joe, our co-host, who is currently in Cairo.
Awesome.
So we'll be getting her on air to talk about
she's doing
what
a bit of Queen
there.
Of the Nile today, is she?
Queen of the Desert.
It's Priscilla.
Yeah, yeah.
Joella.
And she's not wearing her fur, I believe. But we'll soon find out.
Man, hers isn't faux, though. It's real.
No. Nothing about Joe is faux.
No.
No faux on Joe.
I won't have it. No faux on Joe.
And she will be talking about a person that she's visiting in Egypt who has been a former guest of ours, who we'll hear all about that very shortly. Final words about markets and what happens, what trends are coming. What do you see market trends in Delhi coming up in the next few years? Is it going to just keep staying robust and traditional flavours, or are things going to change?
Look, I think it's always dependent on what the inspired producers come up with, and it's to do with seeing what people like to adopt to. Look, I can't see anything right now.
Organics was probably the last really big.
Well, maybe for those people that wanted to, and also gluten-free was huge
as
well.
Of course,
Fortunately, some of those people with gluten-free intolerances are well, I've been quite intolerant of them, but it's starting to disappear a little bit now. Look, I think healthy eating will always stay in fashion, but also decadent eating will also stay in fashion because we need to entertain, we need to
treat
ourselves
and
exactly.
Spoil other people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I like to see healthy eating. You know, I've got a couple of kilos to shed after the Christmas luncheon, but you know, also, you know, we are aging a little bit, our population, and I want to live for a long time. So, you know, maybe that's one of the trends to certainly keep up with. But it's great to see what people are eating out at, and, you know, chefs do drive a lot of the trends in our city.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
And I'm sure we'll see you very soon. But stick with us all afternoon for Escaper, which is coming up next. After that, we've got Critical Hit, Cute with Hannah, Neon Lights and A Touch of Pink. Big afternoon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.